Welcome to The Daily Dish. I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
And we're digital producers for Bravo TV, coming to you from Rockefeller Center in New York City.
Today we're going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and The Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's finally back.
Thank God. And we have two interviews.
All-star interviews.
Yeah, because we talked to NeNe Leakes and your girl, Camille Grammer. Camille. So stay tuned for that.
I'm really tired today, Megan.
Me too. Why are you tired?
I'm tired because I went to hashtag Countess and Friends.
What?
Yeah. At the very last minute, two tickets opened up for me and Eric J. Mack from the Erica Jayne Moment of the Week to attend.
Yeah, and these aren't tickets to the public. It was like two tickets opened up for Bravo VIPs.
Yes.
And you are a Bravo VIP.
Obviously. I even got to not sit with my guest. So that's how VIP I am. They separated me and Eric because they had it under two different names. And they were like, oh, we didn't realize you were together.
Aww.
So we were across the room from each other, but being like, oh, my God. Ah, like freaking out, like making eyes across the room. But I was seated literally... Okay, I know we had Emily come on and talk about it the last week's performance, but this week all of the wives were at, it was the finale wrap party.
Like for the season?
For the season. I had to sign a waiver, probably going to be in the episode.
Oh my God, I hope.
I hope so too.
I hope they keep flashing to your reaction of things.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be like 5 minutes of the actual episode is the performance, but maybe not. I would genuinely just watch like a PBS version of this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So first of all, because it was a room full of Housewives fans, every time one of them came in, the entire room would be like, and like freak out. So Bethany came in and Frances Berwick, who was like the head of cable, went over before she came in to like talk to some of the ladies. But by the time Bethany got there, they were like for sure filming everyone. So Ryan Flynn, the EP, I guess had been like, I think it's a great idea to go over there because they're filming. So I went over to say hello to Frances and a couple other people that work for Bravo. And they were like, could you go get Bethany and have her come talk to Frances? It's like, sure. Okay.
Also, just I feel like I want to paint this picture that Frances for us is like Miranda,
yes,
Priestley,
yes,
and Devil Wears Prada.
Right. So I already was like, had to like talk myself up to go over and be like, hi, table of like executives.
Yeah.
So then when I was told to go get Bethany for them, I was like, okay, got to do this now. Got to go interrupt a table of housewives. So I go over, and thank God Bethany was on the end, too, because I couldn't imagine having to go, like, in the middle of this group. And I was, like, tapping her on the shoulder, and Dorinda's talking to her, and Dorinda's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I was like, oh, my God. So then I'm, like, tapping Bethany on the shoulder, and I'm like, hi, excuse me, sorry. And she was like, hello. I was like, Frances just wanted to chat to you. She's, like, over in the corner, but she can't come over here. And she was like, oh, so do I need to go, like, now? And I was like, I think before the show starts, maybe would be like a good idea. Like she would like to talk to you. And she's like, okay, I'll just go now. And I was like, okay, great. Thank you.
I'm stressed out from that entire.
Also, I'm like surprised no one stopped you from tapping on Bethany's shoulder.
Anyone,
you
know, could have gone up to any of them at any point.
Weird.
Like throughout the night, people were just like taking selfies with them, dancing with them. It was a very like, they are the people, we are the world kind of experience.
Yeah.
Special guests included Rachel Dratch to start, which was amazing.
Love her.
Bridget Everett performed.
Love her.
I saw her nipple.
Aw.
She showed it to everyone. So that's like something I can hold near and dear to my heart.
Was it a nice nipple?
Yeah. She said basically she was talking about her boobs and that the nipples came in before the boobs. As we all know that story. And then she proceeded to motorboat Sonia Morgan.
Nice.
It was amazing. And like I said, I was right next to all of them. So it was just exciting to see like what everyone liked, what maybe they didn't like, what everyone was feeling throughout the night. Ramona Singer was feeling when Laura Benanti came out. I know, I died. I literally was like, did I go to gay heaven? is this where I am now? It was just so amazing. So she came out and did like this medley of pop music, and she started with Single Ladies, and Ramona popped right up and was like, me, and like dancing. It was, and then Sonia stood up too, and she had a bag that said Single, and she was like showing it off to everyone.
Oh my God.
It was just everything.
It sounds like a dream.
Yeah. I can't, it was like the highlight of my life. Me and Eric were literally like, imagine if we didn't come to this.
Yeah.
I'm sad I couldn't go.
Yeah, it was a night I will never forget. Also, Billy Stritch, who like is very, very famous, worked with Liza Minnelli, like he's a really, really big deal, did the music, oh my God, what's it called? Not production, not organization.
Arrangement.
And he was there playing piano for her all night. So of course me and Eric met up to him at the end. We're like, oh my God.
Are Billy Stritch and Elaine Stritch related?
Good question. I don't know.
I gotta be.
He only has like 1,000 followers on Instagram.
He's like a really big deal though. So I don't know why. Maybe because he's like, I think.
Maybe. Or maybe Eric tagged the wrong person. Who knows?
That could be. He, like, I could also see him like not being super into social media.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. But it was very exciting. It was like genuinely good. Like, I know that Emily said that, but, like, I was like, I would have paid to see this. Thank you, Emily Exton, for encouraging me to go. I'm sad all of you couldn't be there, but head to my Instagram at Suspiciously Small to see. Plugging it.
Sweet plug.
To see some footage from that faded night. But I'm very tired. Why are you tired, Megan?
Just too much drinking. And after I was drunk, I decided to order a chocolate martini.
I know. You guys can't see. I didn't audibly make a reaction, but my face was like, ooh.
And this was like after midnight. And I was like, I think a chocolate martini. And instead of,
because you wanted like a milkshake. Yeah. But you wanted it to have alcohol in it.
Right. But instead of, you know how a martini comes with olives on a toothpick? It came with marshmallows on a toothpick.
Classy. Classy. Oh, I forgot to mention, I also sat at a table with like an older lady and gentleman, and I was like, oh, do you know Luann? And they were like, we know all of them.
Who were
they?
And then
Dorinda came and sat down at the table, did not recognize me.
That's so sad, Dorinda. We had a moment.
I know.
We did a Facebook Live together.
I know.
Every time people come into the office, like, whether they've been on the podcast or not, whether I've worked with them outside the podcast, just as a digital producer, I always introduce myself. And half the time they'll be like, I know. But I'm like, do you? Because do you if know? I didn't say it.
Well, now I can be like, I'm the one that tapped you on the shoulder, Bethany.
Yeah.
To tell you to go talk to Frances. But enough about me and New York City. We're here to talk about Vanderpump Rules. Megan has to be a diva and get water right now. It's because of that chocolate martini.
Speaking of chocolate martinis, did you know, Dylan's Candy Bar?
Yes.
You know there's a bar upstairs?
Yes.
Have you been?
I have not, but I've heard of this.
It's horrific.
Ooh. But like, should we go?
Anyway, Vanderpump Rules.
So Rachel and I both watched this episode, and we, so we need to talk about this episode on the podcast. But, like, there's one part we just really don't want to talk about, and that's this whole Jeremy thing. I just feel like, first of all, we still don't really know him. That's what my comment was last week, is like, well, I don't know him. I don't know if he's, enough to substantiate Stassi's comment, and I feel like I still don't. But at the same time, I respect everyone's feelings. Stassi has her feelings, but we love Ariana and don't want to talk shit about her brother, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it's the kind of like situation that we just don't want to comment on.
We just don't feel like it. But the one thing I did want to say is, because I think we saw in the mid-season super tease that Tom Sandoval was like, I don't want to hang out with your wife anymore, to Tom Schwartz. And Tom Schwartz is like, you can't say that kind of thing to me.
Like, I don't really want to be around your wife.
Dude, you can't be saying things like that.
And I feel like maybe in this episode we see the beginning of that, because Sandoval is in Katie and Tom's apartment screaming at her.
And even in the episode, Tom Schwartz was like,
you can't scream at my wife.
Which I was like, finally.
Yes, I know.
Finally, Tom Schwartz. Slow clap. Way to step up and be the Bubba we all know you could be.
Exactly.
You need to check your facts.
Then again, you know, Tom yelling at my wife, like, you can't do that.
We're talking about...
But yeah, you have thoughts on Jax.
Yeah, I just was like, Jax does things that aren't so great a lot. This episode, for some reason, made me feel the ickiest about Jax. Jax. Sorry, I'm tired. The ickiest about Jax. Because I feel like if you're telling your dad something, is that airing your dirty laundry when you're on a television show that gets millions of views?
Right.
I'm not upset about what Britney's father said. I mean, I'm more upset the fact that she's kind of like airing on our dirty laundry.
And his reaction is just, it's like you can like go through like he's mad because she's airing his dirty laundry and then she's not perfect.
You're not perfect either. So, I mean, there's things
I know,
that, like,
but you cannot.
And then she's Bratney.
There's a reason they called you Bratney when you were young.
And then it's like, deflect, deflect, deflect. It's not my fault. I'm going to be angry about it.
You just don't stop.
Jax. You just keep going.
Jax.
And I just was like, dude, she wouldn't have anything to air if you didn't put your dick in other women.
Right. I also just thought, like, she was coming from a really sincere place where she's like, Jax, it was really hard just now having to tell my dad that. And I really hope my mama doesn't find out because she will be heartbroken. You can't ever put me through this again.
That he kind of got that from your character, that you don't have very much self-control. I hope Mamaw doesn't find out because that'll really break her heart. Me having to have these like conversations with my family and stuff, really, really hard.
And he took that as an opportunity to be like, you're not perfect either.
And then I think that spoke to later on. You really see, I think Sheena really represented us all in this episode because she was like, you know, you're better than to be treated like that.
Yeah.
You know you deserve to be happy right. with somebody that is not doing this to you.
And you deserve the world. And he's not giving it to you. And I don't think he ever will.
And then when Brittany started crying, she's like, but I love him.
But I just love him so much.
But I love him.
I know you love him.
I can't just all of a sudden just not love him. It's so hard to be like.
But is that.
To
so,
just throw it all so, away.
I don't know. And obviously she's still with him. They seem super happy. Maybe he has like apologizing ways we haven't seen.
Right.
Maybe, you know, we only see these moments that we see.
Yeah.
But it just made me so sad. And it really just was like, Jax. Yeah, you have to, like, I think also if I had seen at any point, and it kind of reminds me of Portia. And let me explain why.
Portia Umansky.
It reminds me of the child, Portia Umansky. No, it reminds me of Portia. I keep calling her Portia Stewart Williams.
Yeah.
She'll always be Portia Stewart to me because that's how I met her.
Yeah.
You know when people have like a hair color?
Yes.
And then like no matter what hair color they have later.
You're like, no, you looked better before.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Portia Stewart. Portia's whole problem, and Nini kind of said this last episode, is that like everyone's going to keep getting mad at you for this until you sit everybody down and apologize and be like, I f***ed up. I'm sorry. And she says it in this week's episode as well. Nini says that Portia needs to do that. And I feel like Jax just needs to have a moment of like, I f***ed up royally. I am so sorry I put you through that. It is unacceptable. And to be very vulnerable. And I've yet to really see that.
Right.
So that's why I think we're always going to be kind of mad at him.
Did you watch Jennifer Lawrence on Watch What Happens Live?
I watched part of it. I did see her call somebody... A something.
Yep. No, there's a point where she looks at the screen. She's like, Brittany, break up with him. I have been in this relationship. It will not get better. He will not change. You need to leave.
Thoughts on Jax and Brittany's relationship. Would you have taken him back?
Brittany, please. I have been in these kind of relationships before. You are going to be so much better on your own. You'll be lonely for a little bit. Get out of there. He's f***ing the Reiki master.
And it was just like, ugh.
But it's like,
yeah.
It's like an addict, right? Unless they want to change, they're not going to change.
Yeah.
And like, not Jax, but I mean Brittany. Like, unless But, you know, I think that, like, he went through something very, very real this year, and that can change you. So we'll see. I had one more thing about Vanderpump. Do we need to get our vaginas lasered together?
There is, you know, I remember in high school, I went with a friend to, we went and got bikini waxes or something, and it was, like, our first time. And she was in the room with me, but she was not staring at me.
I could not imagine being in a room with other people staring at my vagina that I then had to, like, go have coffee with.
No. I don't think any vagina, first of all, is cute enough. But
love your kitty, I Megan. Know.
But, okay, back to the waxing story. Okay, so the woman was like, you can keep your underwear on. And then she said, but she had to secure it and, like, bunch it together in the middle. So she said, can you hand me that hair clip? And my friend, who's not looking at me, goes, how much hair do you have down there?
Enough to braid.
Oh,
that's funny. Yeah.
I'm so excited about our new sponsor, Audible. I use Audible every single day. You want to know why? New York commute is hell on earth, and sometimes you just need to block out the noise, whether it be a mariachi band or someone screaming to get out of the way. Yes, those things happen on a daily basis. So I pop on my headphones, listen to Audible. Recently, I finished The Wife Between Us by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Buchanan. I couldn't stop listening. It was so good. Audible helps you listen to more books by letting you switch seamlessly between devices, picking up exactly where you left off. So whether it's on your phone, through your car, or a tablet, or even your Amazon Echo, you can get through tons of books while doing almost anything and without the constant starting and stopping and putting away your book. It carries titles in business, classics, erotica, Grace, fiction, history, romance, sci-fi, fantasy, self-development, basically everything. And Audible credit, Audible members get a credit every month, good for any audiobook in the store, regardless of price. And you didn't like your audiobook? You can exchange it, no questions asked. Start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/dailydish or text dailydish, one word, to 500-500. You can do it with audiobooks. So Beverly Hills, Beverly Beach. I have to say I'm disappointed because – did we already talk about this?
I think we did because he came up with the concept last week.
Yeah.
But I loved when Dorit was like, isn't it so fab? I love it so much.
Know.
And then you see her literally like days before being like, ooh.
Yeah.
Right. Ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, my God. And I love it.
Okay, tell me.
Call it Beverly Beach. What do you think of that?
Beverly Beach.
That's kind of cute.
By Dorit.
Beverly Beach by Dorit.
It's an imaginary place.
And again, it would be, I would like it more if the intention was Beverly Bitch.
Right, but it's not. It's not. It's a place.
Yeah. I think we should go to the dinner.
I think so, too.
I mean, it's where we started. It's where we ended. Because you brought up the good point that Dorit has completely switched her thinking on Beverly Beach. Also, was so upset in the last episode at Lisa Vanderpump's birthday, is completely over it now.
Right, totally fine.
Not mad at Camille, not mad at Vanderpump. She's just over it.
Absolutely, yeah. Apparently, I think we may have seen more tension had something else not happened on the way to dinner. I think
right.
It's like, I can't even deal with that right now because I'm so heated about this.
Well, I did want to put you in Teddy's situation to get your read on it.
Okay.
So if you were in Teddy's shoes and Lisa Rinna is like, well, me and Dorit are great. We're totally over it. But you knew that 3 months ago, Dorit was talking shit about Lisa Rinna. Would you feel the need to tell her in that moment?
I think that it's complicated, right? Because Lisa Rinna has not been around a lot.
Yeah.
Because she's been working. So if you only see her in these like group situations and you don't know, you haven't seen their budding friendship or whatever, and like you're like, but the last time I talked to Ricci, she hated you.
You're right.
When she and PK kind of went into like a rehashing of your whole issues, you and her.
Can I ask what they said?
Essentially, as they're laying it out, PK threw out there, like, I think Lisa Rinna could be schizophrenic, or maybe...
Oh, he's already said that.
Okay, so...
Oh, he said that full okay. out to
So
many.
Then he said yeah. that...
I don't know. I don't know if it needed to be like this, like... But I don't think that she... It's, like, weird because I feel like the way that Teddy approached it to Dorit made it seem like her conversation with Lisa Rinna was, like, a really big deal. But it wasn't. Lisa was like, oh, whatever. People have said worse. I don't care. And Teddy's like, oh, okay, no worries. I just want to let you know that, like, I feel kind of weird because, like, she was talking shit about you.
And that is totally fine. I think maybe the misstep, and again, I think it's Teddy has almost a, it's like a tick to be overly communicative and to be, like, completely honest, is when she said to Dorit in the car, right, so just so you know, I told Lisa Rinna that 3 months ago you were talking badly about her.
Lisa Rinna and I are getting a pedicure the other day, and she's telling me how since Vegas, everything's been amazing with you, and I cannot even look her in the eyes.
You just felt like you needed to kind of talk about a conversation that happened 3 months ago over dinner that was in passing.
Why are you telling her this?
Right, and especially Lisa Rinna's like, oh, I don't care. But it's like, I do get Teddy's point of view, because I feel like where people get into trouble is when people find out later that you had said something.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe she was trying to get ahead of it. But I honestly don't think that Teddy was trying to, like, stir any shit up. I think she was just trying to be like, I'm just putting it all out there. And, like, Dorit being like,
it's not nice to think that you're starting shit with friends of mine. It's not nice to think that you're trying to restart something with someone that I've had issues with, and we're working
on... And I'm not trying to restart.
No. For whatever reason, you think your hands are clean, but you're not quite realizing that you're starting fires.
Yeah.
It's kind of like missing the nuance.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But Dorit came in hot from that car. Oh, my God.
And Teddy's like, I thought we were... I was trying to just keep this between us. I was like, oh, Teddy.
You shouldn't have done it on the way to a dinner.
Teddy, why don't you fill everyone in?
Because truthfully, Dorit, I didn't want to talk about this with anybody other than you and Lisa, which is why I kept it in the car and I asked us to drop it.
And then that moment with Erica.
Erica, come on.
I'm okay.
That comes across a little... Yeah, a little aggressive. It does. I don't think it comes across aggressive at all.
That's saying what she's doing. Is
pretending to be amnesia.
No, you said pretend. Don't exactly. say I pretend to have amnesia. There's no pretending.
Erica scared me.
I know. I was watching it with my roommate, and we were like, what would have been the best thing for Teddy to do? My roommate was like, I think Teddy did exactly what she needed to be like. I hear you. Okay. Because the calmer you are, the less calm they look.
Right.
Versus, because I was like, I might have just been like, I don't know what you're doing right now, if you think that's intimidating or something, but it's not. And I don't think you can speak to me that way. Like, that's what I might have said back to Erica, but I now realize that that might have made it worse.
Right.
So Teddy did exactly what I think needed to happen, but, like, it made me sad that she was so affected.
Why do you think Erica had such a strong reaction?
I don't know, because I feel like I think that I have a whole theory about this. So I do. It's not that I don't know. I actually do know. I forgot my theory. I watched this a couple days ago. So the whole thing, right, is Teddy being like, and now you're kind of like going back on the fact that you said you would have been offended mm-hmm. by what Dorit said at the dinner. If Erica puts it all about, don't call me a liar, don't say that I'm pretending, she doesn't have to answer the question.
Right.
Deflect, deflect, deflect.
Mm. I think also because Teddy used the word amnesia, and that was the word last season. Everyone forgot what they said, and I think that is also just like a trigger word maybe for Erica.
Right.
I will say, though, she's always so lovely, but after watching this episode, she was emailing me today. She's like, hey, babe, the link to this episode isn't working, and... like, I got stress panic in my stomach because I was like, oh, my God, I don't want her to be mad at me.
What did you think about, like, I loved when Lisa Vanderpump, or I forget who it was, or Lisa Rinna was like, I think Erica's going to realize that she may be overreacted and she doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings and she'll definitely apologize. And then cut to Erica in interview being like, I'm not going to apologize.
Oh, yeah. Not going to do it. Don't ask.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I think Erica will apologize to Teddy. Erica's sensitive enough to go, oh, I don't like to hurt her feelings. Didn't mean to necessarily make her cry.
I'm not apologizing for it. Don't ask for it because you're not going to get it.
Also, I found it interesting that she said, I'm tired of being nice to her.
And I'm tired of being nice to you.
Have you been?
Yeah, that's nice. Oh, I mean, and this is all saying I love Erica so much.
Oh, yeah.
But she's scary.
Scary.
And then I think it was wise to flash back to, like, her flipping out on Eileen because it was such an over-the-top reaction. And I get that it's about her kid. But there's no way Eileen meant anything.
Right.
It's Eileen, you know, not to rehash that whole thing.
You don't know what I deal with every night.
I don't. Actually, I don't.
That's really insensitive. Your kid's not out there.
Difference here is that Erica apologized to Eileen numerous times. Because she felt so bad about it. And in this situation, she's like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I think that Erica maybe got so heated because she was almost mad at herself for saying, actually, it would have hurt my feelings.
Which, why?
Yeah.
I guess she just didn't want to get in the middle of it.
Yeah, I think that she's like, I went against my own policy of, like, not getting in the middle of it, and I'm not going to get dragged into it now. I'm not going to let you drag me in, Teddy.
Also, I mean, it's not ice, it's diamonds, but ice cold when she saw Teddy crying. She's like, leave her. Leave her, Julie.
I know.
No. Teddy, you're not going. No. Teddy, you're not going.
I'm out. If you leave me alone.
Teddy, just leave that alone. She's good. Just leave her alone.
And speaking of Erica Jane / Girardi.
It's the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Yay! With Eric J. Mack.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
So it's a tough week to be an Erica Jane fan, but her book cover photo shoot at Milk Studios was probably the most fabulous moment from this episode. She talked to the publishers and she said it has to be pop art.
It's important that it's a little over the top.
I think it should be over the
top. I do too. You know, for lack of a better word, it has to be kind of pop art.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
You're good. I'm glad to hear you say that.
So she had that see-through cat suit. And then she had that topless look with the pink skirt and the gloves, which I think ended up making the cover. And then there was one other look in sort of this, like, pleathery type of, you know, bikini top situation. So she looked fabulous. Her hair looked great. And she's releasing a book. So it's kind of amazing that she's been able to, you know, pull this all together. And we've watched the process. And we need to pre-order that book.
I know. Like, has anyone in the office read it yet?
I don't think we've gotten copies.
I think maybe Jocelyn has a copy.
What?
So we should go check that
Tracking
out.
Tracking Jocelyn down. I did also like her moment. She was in the confessional and she said, I can't. And it just sounded like the exact way that I say I can't. She was talking about, I think, Dorit's jealousy of, like, the whole Teddy Lisa situation, which is just strange. But, I mean, we all know how that all ended up at the end of last night's episode.
I also cannot with that.
I can't.
I can't either.
I'm like a little, I can't.
I can't. I can't. We can't, Erica. We can't.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, guys. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
And I will see you next Tuesday.
But we talked to someone who was there at this dinner. My favorite housewife of all time.
Whoa.
OG, flawless goddess, Camille Grammer. Well, Camille Grammer, you are on the Daily Dish podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I have to ask, did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
Oh, isn't that sweet?
No, I'm genuinely such a huge fan. You're like my number one favorite Beverly Hills housewife. So I'm like dying a little bit inside that.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. That's very, very kind of you. That's very sweet. And I feel honored. Thank you.
You know, for us diehard Beverly Hills fans, season one made you like a legend in Bravo history. And particularly, I would call it your redemption arc. I mean, we see a very different Camille today than we were introduced to back then.
Correct. Yes.
Having such a tough first season, was it hard for you to want to come back?
Yeah, after the first season, it was very difficult because I was going through a divorce, and to play that out publicly was extremely hard. And I was trying to hide the fact that my marriage was in trouble when I was filming. I didn't know what was transpiring, but I knew something was wrong. And then as further along in the season, as we were filming, I had found out that, you know, Kelsey was out of the marriage, basically, and trying to hold it together and finish out a season. And that was really, really difficult. And I'm a different person now because I had a lot of heartbreak, and I was anxious then and nervous and sad, and I had all these different emotions, and I'm confused. And I had to grow a lot. So, so it was a learning experience, a growth. There was a lot of growth since the first season, and so that's why this year I feel like I can be a little more sassier and not feel like exactly season one, but you can see glimpses of season one, Camille.
Yes. Yes, that sass is definitely back, and we love it.
That's great. Yeah, I'm a little more feistier. I know Andy likes it. He's like, come on, Camille, let's get feisty Donatachi back here.
Yeah. I love it. Looking back at that first season, too, did you have any idea what you were getting into? Like, Atlanta had been on, I think maybe New York was a housewife show at that time, but really it was at the beginning of all of these franchises.
No, I didn't. My mom said you have to do your homework, and I didn't do my homework.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't really watch any of the shows. I think I watched a few minutes of The OC, and I watched part of a reunion show, but I didn't. I went on because, my ex-husband thought it would be a good idea, something good for me, and he kind of guided me onto the show. And then, I knew Kyle, and I had known Lisa Vanderpump, and I knew I was close to Adrian because they were my neighbors, Adrian and Lisa. I lived around the block from them.
We had Kyle on recently, and she said people still come up to her and are like, please, we record a message of you're such a f***ing liar, Camille. Are there any lines that people continue to repeat to you?
That one. I think that's one. And pernicious. I get pernicious.
Oh, yes.
All
that's
the time.
A good
so
one.
Pernicious. Students that are in college or high school that are like, oh, the word pernicious came up in my paper or came up in vocabulary lab. It's great. I've enjoyed that. They're like, thank you. Thank you for introducing the word pernicious into my vocabulary. It's like, you're welcome.
Right. You're really helping the world, Camille. That's what's happening. I think we want to get a little bit into this season, though.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Well, you said it yourself. You're a little sassier this season. And we're about to see you give this gag ball gift to Dorit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I thought it would be great. I thought it would be such an appropriate gift for somebody that was telling me that she called me the C word as a joke. I was like, okay, well, if you like jokes, here's one.
On a scale from innocent, completely innocent, to a lot of shit stirring, where would you say that gift is?
Oh, is that shit stirring? Maybe a 50-50.
It's a number 10.
I might be a 5 to a 10.
Yeah. I think
to rev her up a bit. You know, she wanted she was going to start a whole, strap-on line named the Camille, right? So I thought it would be appropriate for her to have a gag ball. And it's pink. It's pretty.
Yes.
It's feminine.
We, after watching that episode, were really confused about that conversation at the party. Like, how did we even get into talking about strap-ons?
I don't know. She brought it up. Okay. She wanted Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle to be the godmother of her, possibly if she had another child like this. And she said, oh, and you can be the godfather. And I said, I can't. I don't have a penis. And she turned around and she said, oh, we'll get you a strap-on. So that's how that all started, and then it kept continuing about the strap-on. But I thought it was inappropriate. Yeah. So why? I thought that was low, you know. And she knew that I had a hysterectomy, and there's other things connected to that. And obviously, I can't have children, and nor would I want any more at my age. Or, but there's a lot of stuff behind it that I felt that was she was trying to. I thought she was trying to prod me into something. She was definitely trying to stir something up.
So she was also high on the stirring scale then.
Oh, absolutely. At the Kyle's dinner party, she was totally stirring with me. There's no question about it. And I thought, why? It's inappropriate. I barely know this woman. I've hung out with her a couple of times. I thought she was delightful. I thought she was pleasant. She was fun to be around. And here she is calling me a stupid. And then she turns around and says that I don't have a personality. I don't have a sense of humor. Like, just dismiss it as I don't have a sense of humor. No, I don't appreciate it being a woman being called the C word.
Right. Right.
I don't think most women would.
Right.
No. But I think that maybe she didn't realize who she was talking to.
Yeah, maybe that too.
She hadn't seen season one.
Yes. She.
No. She did not see season one, Camille. And I was on the different. I was at a different. The end of a table. I couldn't see her facial expressions and stuff from my angle. Right. So, I couldn't tell if she was laughing, if she was. You know, all I heard were the words, and I just looked straight ahead and went, "Oh no, not the C word."
You know, we're getting into like the drama that you've had this season. What did make you want to come back? Why that decision now?
I wanted to be able to promote the foundation a little more. That's the Foundation for Women's Cancer that I'm involved with. And, you know, I'm a survivor of stage 2 uterine cancer. And my mom is still battling, and she's in and out of the hospital. She's on an immunotherapy drug, and if that's the way you call it, it's called Keytruda. And it's helping her. But I think it's really important to raise awareness and fund clinical studies and trials for others that are suffering and going through it, because it's not just the patient that suffers, it's the whole family that goes through it with the patient.
One of the great things that we got out of this season is seeing more of your daughter Mason and seeing her walk in New York. And you know, she seems like such a delightful, sweet person. And I've always said, if I grew up with Frasier money, I would be a monster. How have you kept her so grounded?
She was just born that way. She's really level-headed. She's an old soul. She's wise beyond her years, but yet she's still a young teen, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And I like that she's not dating, and she's really focused with her schoolwork, unlike some of her girlfriends that are out dating already. And
right.
For her, it's getting good grades, focus on school, and she wants to focus on a career. She's serious. She's disciplined. I'm very impressed by her. I'm very impressed by her. Now, my son, that's a different story. I love him to death. He's a sweetie pie. He's a snuggle bug. But to get him to focus, wow, that's to focus on school. He'd rather play video games. I get it. He's a 13-year-old boy. He wants to play video games. Does he want to do his homework? No. So it's a little tougher getting him to do his homework. But my daughter, she just comes home and automatically goes to her room and does her homework. I'm very impressed by that because I wasn't like that. I hated doing my homework. So I'm very impressed.
Speaking of fashion, the fashion show in New York and mm-hmm. everything, you know, you have been friends with Lisa for so long and Kyle for so long. Mm-hmm. Lisa Rinna describes their relationship as like strange and weird and competitive. Would you say that?
Between Lisa
and Kyle.
Lisa and Kyle. Well, they have their ups and downs, but they always seem to make it work. You know, they have... I've watched it over the years. They definitely love each other. They're close. They understand each other. Their banter is fantastic. They play off of wanting each other fantastically. They're so funny. And there is a strained relationship. And you see it play out this year that, you know, they both hold each other to a higher standard than the other girls. They do. But then that's what happens when you come close friends with somebody. When you hold your best friend to a higher standard than somebody you just met. Or a newer relationship.
Absolutely.
That's natural. So you're seeing something very natural that a lot of women go through play out this season on Housewives.
We saw Adrian in Vegas with you guys, but mm-hmm. I was wondering how, if you keep in touch with Taylor Armstrong at all.
No, I don't. I have lost contact with Taylor. Last time I talked to her was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I just ran into Adrian recently. And, you know, we have that bond, that OG bond from back then. Because we went through a lot those first two, three seasons together.
I mean, a lot.
A lot. There are divorces. There is a lot of highs and lows. There's, you know, so with that, you get closer with the people that you're with. And, you know, Age and I were talking about that, how we both went through divorces together, one after another. So, and how bizarre, because both of our husbands wanted us to be on the show, and we didn't realize that we were both being, we were going through a divorce on the show, right?
Right.
So we were talking about that the other day, but just last weekend, so. But she's great. I really like her. I miss her on the show. I think she's a lot of fun. But I think the new girls are great too. I think Erica's great. I like Erica. I love what she said about my daughter. And you know, this last episode, I was really impressed. Who else has been really? Lisa Renna has been very supportive. I know her daughters are modeling also, but she's very supportive of my daughter Mason, and she gave her tips this year, and she's super sweet. Because we all believe when it comes to our children, we want to support one another. And Lisa said something great recently on Twitter, that we're all here to support each other no matter what. And that's something that women can understand also, that it's very relatable. You know, we're going to have fights. Women are catty, right? We can be bitchy at times. We're hormonal. We're all of these things. But that's also what makes us wonderful. Right. You know, we're not boring.
Yeah, and fun to watch.
We're not boring. So, you know, I think that resonates with everybody in relationships. When you get a group of girls together, we're not going to all see eye to eye. We're not going to all get along. We're not going to all, you know. And it happens. And there are, you know, when you have relationships between girlfriends, there are relationships. I had this since high school. I see my daughter going through it, right? You have a best friend last year, and she's not your best friend this year because another friend came into your life. And relationships switch and change and evolve, you know? So, and I think it's a universal.
Are you still with your boyfriend?
By fiance, yes.
Oh, my God, yes. I'm so sorry. I forgot this news.
No, it's okay.
Oh, my God, congratulations.
No, it's okay. You're following the show.
Yes, I am.
We're not there yet. Very much. I'm very happy. We're engaged. We're starting to plan our wedding and trying to figure out the logistics because we'd like it to be in Hawaii on one of the islands, and we're just trying to figure out the logistics, how to get our families there and make it all work. And with my mom being sick and all, like, she can travel, and let's see. So we might have to have two weddings, one closer, one in LA, and then one in Hawaii.
Are you seeing it as like a big over-the-top affair, or?
I don't want to do an over-the-top. I had that before. I mean, but I want it substantial. I want it to be lovely and elegant, and I want everybody to feel like family and an extended family. So, yes, you know, maybe about 100 people.
Will any of the wives be there?
We'll see how Dorit and I get along. Let's see what happens during the reunion show. How's that?
Yes.
I'll dangle that carrot out there. Yes. Well, we're going to figure that out. You know, because when the reunion show comes up, we'll just have to see.
Yes. One thing I love watching in an upcoming episode is Lisa Renna kind of trying to motivate you to get, you know, embrace your sexiness. And we see you guys try on lingerie. And you look freaking fantastic. What do you do to stay in shape?
Thank you. I dance. There's a trailer in Malibu. It's called Jams Malibu Trailer. Netta's the teacher. She's amazing. After a hysterectomy, as I talk about it on the show, it's, you don't feel feminine. You know, you lose your estrogen, goes down, your female organs are removed. You don't feel like being intimate. The desire has waned. So you've got to rebuild that, you know, get your sexy back, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, Lisa Renna is very sexy. You know, her outfits, she's in great shape. So she's like, honey, we got to get you to get it back. So here. So she took me lingerie shopping, and she's like, don't feel insecure about your body. Let's, you know, so she was trying to help me to, like she said, open up like a flower. So, yeah, but this is very real and relatable to women that have had, again, any kind of, you know, if it's breast cancer or uterine, ovarian, you know, this is what we go through. This is, you know. So I think it's important for it to be brought up too, because it's part of my awareness campaign to help women. And there's a great book out there called Sex and Sex After Cancer. So, and it helps a lot of women that are going through the same issues that I have gone through.
Well, speaking of your dancing, one of my all-time favorite things was ever when you dance on the show. Will you be seeing Dancing Camille this season?
We've seen it possibly towards the end. I don't know. We'll see. See if you see any more dancing. I love dancing. I'm always dancing. My kids think I'm crazy. I'm around the house. I dance around the kitchen. They look at, oh, mom. They roll their eyes, oh, mom.
What else can you tell us about this season?
I think this is, I've enjoyed being in this season again as a friend. There's some, it's spicy, this episode, and it keeps getting better. So
the episodes keep
getting, it's going to be more intense. There's definitely more drama headed this way. It's not, you know,
it's not over.
I think it's a really good season. I think this is a really good season, and it's a classy season. We, you know, we want to respect women with everything that's going on out there.
Yes.
You know, it's perfect for what's going on with, you know.
Absolutely. I love that you just said that.
Mm-hmm. It's really important, yeah, because we could be catty, but we still respect one another and love, you know, we're there for one another.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're very, very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Like Dorinda Medley, I too need a nap every day. And while usually I'm at work, on a Saturday and Sunday, I take at least a 2-hour nap each day. Now, do you know what helps with good napping? Good mattress. That's where Nectar comes in. Nectar has taken their recent advances in mattress and fabric technology and run with them. And they figured out the optimal levels of firmness, coolness, breathability, and comfort and put them all into one mattress, making it the best mattress you've ever slept on, period. What's amazing is this company is going to let you try out their mattress for 365 nights. That's right, a full year. So you can discover your happily ever after. If you're not satisfied, Nectar will pick up the mattress for free and give you a full refund. Buy now and get $125 off and 2 free premium pillows with any mattress in order, and you'll get free delivery. Just visit nectarsleep.com/dish. That's nectarsleep.com/dish. All right, should we get into Atlanta?
Yes, please.
One word.
2 syllables.
Tyrone.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Hobath. I really did. Before Hobath, though, Tyrone.
What's the deal with Tyrone?
I mean,
that's a good title.
Ooh, yes. What's the deal with Tyrone? I loved the moment when they were like, how do you know Tyrone? Or what's the deal there? I love Greg.
What? I never dated him. And it was like, huh?
Don't ask me anymore. Let me be very clear to you guys. I've never been out with Tyrone. Tyrone and
I have
never
been out.
Well, it seemed that question keeps coming up with Nene. Tyrone, that's Sheree's man. Don't ever ask me about Tyrone because he's not my man. He is not my friend. He is not my cousin.
I loved what Kitty was like, you just told on yourself.
Because talking about intent, the intent of the question was, what's the deal with Sheree and Tyrone? Don't you know him? And didn't you guys once have a fight about him?
Right.
But she took it to mean, like, that they're accusing her of sleeping with him.
Right.
So weird.
But why jump to that conclusion, Nene?
Exactly. You were saying earlier that you...
I missed the season of Trump checks.
Yeah.
You called
Fix
Tyrone. Although when they show that clip, I've seen that clip obviously 1,000 times because I work here. But I just this episode put together that that's the Tyrone.
Right.
What I've heard is that you are saying that I've taken money out of your pocket. And you just decided to take what Tyrone said and believed it. Now,
did everyone know this? Do we just like sleep on that and not realize?
I think they did show a flashback to that moment in one of the episodes to let us know.
Oh.
But yeah.
I was literally like, I was like in the living room with my roommate and I was like, that's the Tyrone? That's the Tyrone? I was like freaking out.
That's the Tyrone.
Another rejected podcast title. Yeah, so it leads me, it's kind of like Doth Protest Too Much.
Yeah.
It's a classic Doth Protest Too Much. Why are you so worried about what people think about your dating relationship with this person if there wasn't anything going on?
So, yeah, she totally flips out on Candy. But then also Eva, who I was like, what are you doing? Why are you bringing it up
at dinner?
She flipped out and said, I have been Mrs. Greg Leakes for 20 years.
You want to talk to me about a man? Talk to me about Greg Leakes. Because I am Mrs. Greg Leakes and have been for over 20 years.
That's kind of disrespectful.
So don't even ask me about somebody else's man. You have to ask them. They're here in the circle. Ask them about their man.
So I don't know why, because I do feel like if I look back at the timeline too, isn't that when she was separated from Greg and all that stuff was happening?
No.
Oh.
I don't think.
Maybe it was like the next year or so.
Maybe.
Because remember she was dating a guy?
Yeah, we need to do some deep diving into that.
Yeah. Timelines are hazy.
Yeah.
But like, say it was during the time when they were separated.
That would be okay.
Yeah. So I don't see the problem.
Right.
All we can take is Nene for her word is that
she did not date Tyrone.
In case you were wondering.
She did cash that Trump check.
Oh, yes. Yes, she did.
I was running to the bank and depositing a Trump check.
Other things happened on Atlanta, though.
Oh, my God. The Sheree photo shoot.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about.
I think Sheree is the most beautiful woman. But when she walked out in that outfit,
I just don't think like a opaque leather tight is her look.
Yeah. Also, she just looked like Marlo. Do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, she didn't look like Sheree.
Do you think she sent the photos to Tyrone?
No.
I don't think so.
And
either.
If I were her, I wouldn't have either. Especially after you see Eva posing.
I know. So oh effortlessly, God. Like, beautiful. I know.
She just has a perfect face, though, with little perfect features.
I know her.
Like, she doesn't have
so
a bad angle.
Beautiful.
I think we're going to talk to her soon.
I know.
We're
super
not
excited.
Taking a photo with her.
No. We'll just look like two lumps next to, like, beauty. I am really upset, though, at this episode.
Oh, why?
Because I saw glimpses of the greatest footage ever. But we only saw glimpses of it. And by that, I mean the late night partying.
And the dancing.
And the dancing, which they made into slow-mo.
I loved it so much.
Oh, my God. It was amazing.
Like, that just needs to be a special show.
That's what I said. I was like, we need to just have a digital show of, like, late nights on vacations of Housewives.
But it's insider info. I think the reason they don't show those things is because they're playing music we don't have the rights to.
That all makes so much more sense. Well, then just put Bill Bailey on.
Yeah.
Repeat. Oh, that makes so much more sense. But that makes me super sad because it was so glorious.
So, in the spirit of love, I want to tell you the name I have under my coffee mug. It's Grace.
Oh,
Grace, you are a light on this podcast.
What's happening right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, she clearly hasn't
yeah,
seen the
episode.
Yeah,
you haven't watched the episode. This is why we don't like Grace people.
I watched the episode after you guys talk about it.
I'm done saying nice things about you.
No, keep going. I'm a light. No.
Yeah. Obviously, Megan is referencing this candle moment in the episode.
Yes, before Cynthia's baptism.
Hobeth. I thought it was very nice.
Yes, it was sweet.
It was sweet. I think that maybe there was purposeful candle giving. That Eva had to have Shamia.
Right.
And Shamia had to have Eva.
But then no one had Cynthia.
I know. Also, I kept being like, you all should be facing the water because it's beautiful. Like, all their backs were to this, like, insane, like,
Spanish coastal sunset, and they missed it.
Well, because then the camera guys would have had to stand in the water.
Oh, I see what happened. It's all starting to make sense now. And then, of course, Cynthia was like, I'm going to give myself a baptism, which when she was saying it earlier, I thought that she was going to, they were going to be like someone there to like give a baptism. But no, she started like patting water on her chest. And what, I forget who coined it as, but like, it looked more like a hoe bath.
Yeah.
I would like to just give myself a little spiritual cleanse.
This doesn't seem like a baptism to me. This just seems like a hoe bath.
One of like my oldest friends when we were traveling one day, she's like, I don't think I'm gonna take a full shower because like when you're traveling you don't have a lot of time. And she was like, I'm just gonna do a bird bath. And I was like, a bird bath? And she was like, yeah, like, you know, just like throw water on yourself kind of, but not like actually get in the shower. And I was like, I've never heard that before. And she's like, oh. And then we looked it up and it's a prison term. We're like, where did you pick this up? So, yeah.
I've only ever heard that referred to as a whore's bath.
Yeah, whore's bath.
You know.
Yep. So my friend's a whore.
Oh, next week we see Candy and Kim.
Throughout the whole elephant room experience, you're like, oh, Croy this, oh, Croy this. It's just like, it was
when
just.
When the f- did I call my husband during the elephant room?
You cussing it.
Yes, yes, yes. Ugh. They really hate each other.
Yeah.
Because you don't mess with Candy Burris's money.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Kim did.
To be honest, I would never forgive Kim if I was in Candy's position. Ever, ever, ever. Ever.
Wait, what did Kim do to Candy?
Well, it all started with a little ditty called Don't Be Tardy.
And as you probably know, Candy is responsible for making that song a hit. Right?
Yes.
Like, she did all of the... I don't know what you would call
producing.
It. Yeah. Made it happen, made it the catchy song it is. Kim, when doing like the contracts or deals or whatever, basically Candy got very little money. And now Kim gets all the soul royalties.
Oh, God. So really, Candy is like the grace of Don't Be Tardy.
You wish that was the story.
You got a free pair of Warby Parker glasses.
I did.
Right. Exciting get for this podcast was Nini sat down to talk with us. And I was kind of surprised. I mean, not that like we're not, you know, a big deal, but like.
We're a very big deal. I tapped Bethany on her shoulder.
Exactly. But it's Nini. I didn't know if she'd even make time for us, but she did, and she was so nice.
So nice, so lovely, so pleasant, personable.
And she told us why she prefers curvy girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, girl.
All right.
Talk about it.
Yes.
Guys,
be about it.
We are here with Nini Leakes. Yes. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are so happy as fans that you're back on Atlanta.
Oh, thank you so much.
What made you want to come back now? What made it the right time?
Well, listen, I started on The Real Housewives of Atlanta season one. So I really feel like The Housewives of Atlanta is like my show. Like, I feel like there are just certain girls who are going to be staple on the franchise. And I feel like I'm one of those staple pieces. Because even when I wasn't there, there were so many people saying to me, like, okay, when are you coming back? And we want to see you on the show, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I feel like, you know, it's my home. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we felt a loss when you weren't there. Mm-hmm. Why did you leave? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, I did the show Straight. And what a lot of people don't know, I also shot the pilot. So I shot the pilot. Then we went into season one and kept going. These other girls didn't shoot the pilot. I think me, Kim, and Sheree shot the pilot.
Okay.
But after doing it for so long, it can kind of like pull you down. And, you know, there's a lot of arguments and a lot of negativity. And then people on social media, I really felt like I needed a break. And taking the break, I feel it has done me really good. Mm. You know, like I just needed a break to like, okay, I'm not doing this for a minute. And then come back. And it's done me really well.
Yeah.
Was there any point this season, like considering the negativity or anything going on, that you were like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I made a mistake.
No, actually, I feel like I had a great season this season. And I don't think there's anything that I regret. I've had a lot of fun, season 10.
Well, one tough moment that we've just seen was in Barcelona with mm-hmm. this video that Kim mm-hmm. sent in text. And Cynthia described it in such a perfect way, which she is did. She saves things for Mad Day.
Yeah.
Do you think Kim has always been that way in your experience, or is this new?
This is not new. Kim is always a negative Betty, honey. Cynthia did say it best. Like, who gathers information to save for Mad Day? It makes it feel like you never had good intentions. You never really wanted to get into a good place. You know, it's not surprising, though. You know, Kim and I have definitely had a bumpy ride. And it's just, I personally think Kim is very negative.
I feel like all of that really affected you. We saw in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. How are you dealing with it now? And how are you, what are you thinking going into the reunion with Kim?
I feel okay. You know, I don't have any like, you know, like, oh, when I see her, I'm going to kill her. Like, I don't have, you know, any of those feelings. I've known for a very long time that Kim and I were not on the same page. But I went into season 10 with a very open heart. I wanted to be her friend. I wanted us to get into a happy place. When she would show up to shoots, I would be like, hey, Kim, you look so cute. You know, just trying to figure out, let's, you know, if we were going to be cool. But she never would receive anything that I was saying. So, you know, Kim coming to the reunion, it's not a big deal to me. I mean, some of the girls that are coming to the reunions, I don't like anyway. I mean, they're just coming like to the reunion. I mean, they're just going to be at the reunion. So she'll be at the reunion, and she'll say her piece, and I'll say mine. But at the end of the day, I never want to have anything else to do with her. And I did say never, underline it 10 times. Mm-hmm. Never.
I mean, what if she comes onto the show next mm-hmm. season?
If Kim comes onto the Real Housewives of Atlanta, she's just on the show. I won't have anything to do with Kim.
Portia wanted to leave Barcelona early. Mm-hmm. Kenya didn't come at all. It feels a little bit like there's a disjointment in the group.
This season, Portia's really on an island. You know, there's so many girls that have an issue with her. And I think when the viewers watch the show, because I read the comments, I don't have a problem with reading the comments. And a lot of people say, like, you know, why don't they forgive Portia? Why don't they be friends with Portia? Why don't they da-da-da-da-da-da? Well, Portia has had issues with every girl. Like, she had a physical altercation with Cynthia, physical altercation with Kenya. She and I had our issues. Her and Candy has their issues. And I think what the girls are feeling is, you can say, I'm sorry, but they want to have meaning and feeling behind it. It's sort of like, I know some of the viewers are like, didn't she apologize already? But, you know, apologizing and really putting action to it is really two different things. And the girls want to hear her, like, say, I want to be a part of this circle. I want us to be cool. I want us to be friends. And I don't think that they are really hearing that from her. Or they're not believing it from her. A lot of them don't feel like she's a good friend.
And what about Kenya?
What about her?
I mean, do you feel maybe she needs a break? Like, you took a break.
Yeah. I actually felt like Portia needed a break when we were in Barcelona. And I actually said to her that, you know, if this is really stressing you out so much so, you might want to take a break for a little while. I mean, a break worked for me. Mm-hmm. And then you can come back later. Kenya, I think Kenya is in a place now where she want to be this wife that's married, and she want to try and have children. She's not interested in talking, you know, to the girls or anything. I think that Kenya has hit a wall. Like, she needs a break for a little while. So I think that's where she is. She doesn't want to do, she, you know, needs a break. And I think she'll come back and be a lot fresher.
I loved in Barcelona your conversation with Portia, and it did feel like that, like, sisterly, big sister, mm-hmm. little sister. Mm-hmm. Are you better with her now?
Yeah, I feel like Portia and I are in a better place now, but for me, it's going to take baby steps, you know, to get back to where we used to be. Mm-hmm. And like some of the other girls, I want to really hear and see that she really means it and she really want to be friends. Mm-hmm. You know, opposed to, you know, being strategic or something. Who wants to have a strategic relationship?
Baby vegan steps.
Yeah,
baby
you vegan know, steps. Vegan steps, yeah. Baby vegan steps. Yes.
We saw Greg earlier this season have some health issues. How is he doing?
He's doing really good.
Okay, good. We're all very worried.
No, he's really doing good. He was very worried, too, because my husband, like many men, he was not fond of the doctor. You know, he would never go. And I would always say to Greg, did you need to go to the doctor? Like, he literally goes with me to the doctor and hold my hand, but doesn't want to go to the doctor for himself. His doctor is Walgreens, okay? He'd rather go there and figure out what's on the shelf that might can help him to feel better this week. And it was a wake-up call for him. Now he's at the doctor all the time. My doctor called me. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. So he's all into the doctor now.
Oh, good. Yeah. Does he watch the show with you?
We don't watch it together. We kind of watch it separate because I get it on my phone. Like, I get a link and I watch it. And so Greg watches the show on television.
Does
on
he ever have feedback for you?
All the time. His feedback is so weird. Like, it's so weird. I'm like, Greg, you know, he's like giving me advice on something. I'm saying, nobody's talking about that. We're talking about this situation right here. Like, what do you think about that? Well, you know, his ideas are very different than mine. When he
like,
what?
Yeah.
Like, what? He just can't, like, he doesn't see it like we see it. I guess because we're girls. So we see it totally different. I'm like, you know, she was being shady. And he may say, you know, she was just saying, you know, and he doesn't get it. Greg doesn't get it. He's just right. Like, but Greg is like this with all the girls, no matter who I'm having a disagreement with, he's cool with every girl.
Right. Mm.
He hugs every girl when he walks in, you know, he talks to them and everything. It doesn't matter if I'm arguing with them or not. My son does the same thing. Like, they're guys. They're like, girl, I'm not getting into this.
But what about this Kim drama?
Now, the Kim thing is a different story.
Okay.
My husband still always have, like, hug Kim and, you know, try to be kind to her. But this, Greg is like, in our home, is really took him to another place. He was like, I'm not so sure I want to be, like, have anything to do with them. Only because it's our home, and Greg loves his home. Like, he loves his home. Like, he cannot get enough of it. Yeah. So he feels some kind of way about it. Yeah.
Is there, like, a certain, like, unspoken about line amongst the housewives of, like, what you should and really not should talk about?
Yeah. We say it all the time, but it never really happens. Like, okay, so we always say you shouldn't talk about each other's children, and you should keep your children out of adult business. We always say, you know, you shouldn't hit below the belt. I mean, obviously, we're on a show. We need to tell it like it is, but there should be some things off limit. Now, where the whole Roach situation is concerned, I feel like Kim put the bar on the ground. There is, like, nowhere else to go past that. It really isn't. You know, other than me, I mean, there's nothing else left.
Wow. Bloop.
There's nothing left. Bloop.
I recently saw Candy in Chicago.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah, oh, you did? I was going to ask you because you were in the same role.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think?
I thought she did a great job. I thought that we both played it very differently, but we both did a good job. I liked the way she did it. I enjoyed it. We saw her Saturday night.
Oh, wow. So just recently.
Yeah, me, Cynthia, Marlo, and our producer. Yeah.
It must be so weird to watch someone do what you did and your friend.
You know what? It was good to see the show because when you're playing the character, you don't get to see the whole show. You only see the parts that you're in. And I sat and saw the show when I was asked to be on the show, but that was a long time ago. And so just seeing again, they've changed some parts and bits and pieces. It was just good. And it was also good to see the actors that I worked with on Broadway.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I got to see everybody from beginning to end. We were there on time because I wanted to see everything that happens. And there were parts in the show that I was like, I didn't know that was happening. You know, I didn't realize that because you only come out when it's your turn to come out. A lot of people go back into their dressing rooms sometime. They say, okay, your part is coming up. You need to come back out. And they'll just come out and do their part and go back.
Yeah.
So I never really saw the show.
Your career and life outside of the show is fascinating because you keep taking on new challenges and new things. And what's next?
Well, I own a boutique, which is something that I'm really passionate about. I love my store. It's a small boutique. I hold both men and women clothing. We also have Curvy Girl. And I just enjoy the fashion industry a lot. So my goal is to take this store and have it in malls across the country, boutiques in malls across the country. Like they used to have the store, BB or BCBG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, BB went out of business and they closed down all of their stores. I don't think there's any open, maybe a couple, but I don't think so. And some of the BCBGs closed as well. So I like to have that little small boutique that's in the mall and with both men and women. The one thing that I love about my store is that we carry Curvy Girls. The Curvy Girls are always calling and they are the first clothes to go. Trust me on that. Every time I think about it, I say, you know, I wonder should I have a store that's just for curvy girls? Because the curvy girls, they purchase.
Yeah.
They do. They come in, they're like, listen, honey, I want one shoulder out and the other one in. Okay, I want this, 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 this. And they know exactly what they're coming for and they get it. Yeah, these other little skinny girls are like, girl, I gotta try this on about 10 times. This don't look good. I'm like, girl. I'm telling you. But I love my store. I'm also on tour right now. My comedy show is out on the road. We just did Nashville, Tennessee. So two shows out of Nashville, Tennessee. We are headed to Huntsville, Alabama, and Columbia, South Carolina, Los Angeles, California. So, I mean, I love getting on stage. Stage is like something I really enjoy doing. I love getting up there talking about everybody. I'm now going to talk about you guys. I'm really excited about that.
Speaking of fashion, I love seeing all the different interview looks that you guys do.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think has the best and the worst this season?
Okay, the worst is Sheree this season.
Without with the question. Hair, the outfit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, if you're without like, no.
Okay, I mean, really, I don't need to even think about that now. Without question, Sheree interview looks are the worst this year. I don't know where that blonde wig came from, but that thing is a disaster, isn't it? I was like, now, she man, don't do that. Not good week. Okay, so I would have to say the best interview looks happen to be Cynthia Bailey. I'd say she gives good interview looks.
Yeah.
She really does because she gives good hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lastly, I just want to know about Brent. What's Brent doing?
Oh, my God. Brent is 19.
I mean, we've seen him since he was little.
Yeah. He turned 19 last week. Wow. He's such a good boy. He's funny. He loves comedy. He graduated from a comedy school because he was trying to do the stuff that I do.
That's so cool.
He works for a valet company. He loves cars, Lord Jesus. He loves cars. And he's taking classes for culinary arts.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's so exciting.
He loves to eat as well. Did I say he loved to eat? Did I say he loves to eat?
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank
amazing.
You so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I got to tell you guys, Playa, you know my dog, Playa.
Oh, yes. How is
Playa's good.
Oh, good.
He's such a good boy. I just thought I'd put him on out there. Playa.
Oh, yeah. I loved in your I Dream of Nene series, we saw so much of his little tuxedo.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Oh, he's an old man now.
Aww.
He's such a mess. Playa, he's still a Playa. He's so cute. So sweet.
Right on.
Right on, right on, right on.
All right, all right, all right. All right, all right. Let's get into our rose and thorn.
Okay, let's do rose and thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose was from Real Housewives of Atlanta on the bus, Cynthia trying to get Candy interested in making out with her.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
It was so funny.
She licked her lips at me.
I look at
how. Did y'all just see what she just did?
And I loved Candy's response being like, well, you would have remembered.
Slept so good.
I saw you sneaking out of Cynthia's room last night.
Yeah, right. I thought I had my moment, honey.
You would remember.
My rose for the week was, of course, the male rompers.
So good.
The romp pims, as my roommate called them.
No, that's, yeah, what they're called.
Yeah, and I loved that, like, each of them, I feel like, spoke to the person that they were. Like, Tom Sandoval's had a little extra pizzazz with a pinstripe.
But what does Jaxa say about him?
Safari? it was great. I hope he wears it all the time.
I also have a fashion moment from Vanderpump Rules, but as my thorn.
Oh.
Stassi walked into Katie's apartment in this light blue jumpsuit.
Yes.
It was so bad. Ooh. And I love everything she wears, but this is one of those things you could tell in person was probably cute. Not on camera.
Ugh, we've learned that lesson the hard
Yes. way. And continue to learn it time and time again.
Right. We may have a video coming out soon where I have alfalfa hair the entire time. My thorn was, it's like, it was good in the episode, but then it's a thorn because of real life. Like, throughout this episode of Beverly Hills, I just was, like, in awe of how rich Kyle was. Because she was just, like, casually looking at a house that was $8.7 million.
Right.
And like, should we do it? I don't know. But the whole time, I couldn't help but think about how all of her stuff has been stolen.
And since they moved into that house. Right. And they even said in the episode, like when they were talking about what would be the cons of leaving, Mauricio's like, I feel safe in this house.
Let's go through like pros and cons of both. For me, this house is so me, it's so comfortable. I feel
safe.
Happy. I feel safe.
Ugh. Yeah. So it was like a real like bummer. But her house is so beautiful, her new house. Not that her old house wasn't, obviously it was.
But we never really, I feel like we didn't get to see as much of like the house in full as we do this new one.
Right. And I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, but I do. And her Instagram stories tend to be her backyard a lot with her dogs. And it is gorgeous. So I was like so excited to see it in this episode. But again, it was like with like a hint of sadness.
Yeah.
So that's my thorn.
Well, we want to know what everyone else's roses and thorns were this week. Tweet us using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. You can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Twitter at Rachy Robb and on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
Speaking of which, time for fan shoutouts.
Yes!
Fan shoutouts.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Okay, my favorite this week was Becky Noblog. We've shouted her out before, but she sent a photo of her son and says, I did spray and pray 18 years ago, and look how effective it was.
I mean, it was pretty effective.
I mean, very handsome son, but yeah, like, thank you. I really love any sort of anecdote about unexpected pregnancies.
You do love Teen Mom.
Yeah, I do.
I want to shout out at Terry_Beth because I spoke about on the news and booze this week about how my dad had to bury a knife.
So he wouldn't like have to throw it away.
Right. Terry Beth had a very similar experience with her father. And I was like, wait, you mean he buried it too? And she was like, yeah. He was like, I'm not going to go all the way back to the car for this. So he like buried it in some bushes outside of a courthouse. I was like, our dads need to meet.
Oh, I got a funny Instagram direct message today, a DM, if you will.
Slid on in there.
Okay, so the account is from a dog, all right? Hi, Meg. I'm a huge fan. Well, my mom is. Clearly, I'm a dog. Anyway, she loves your podcast and works for Jamba Juice. She happens to know that a Jamba Shotsky was delivered to Andy's offices yesterday, and we both think you and Rachel should steal it from them and use it for news and booze and to keep in your studio. Keep up the great work. The podcast is our favorite. Also, if you want us to bring you guys Jamba sometime, just say the word. My mom can hook you all up.
Word. It's the word. I want Jamba Juice now.
What's the word? Is it Jamba? We want it.
That's so sweet.
Thank you.
I wanted to shout out, someone commented on the picture of us, or the boom of us getting poured on by Katie and Tom.
Yeah.
_love.good_ Two of Bravo's biggest power couples.
Meaning we're a power couple?
Yes.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks, we made it. We made it. Snaps for us.
I wanted to shout out myself as a fan.
Oh!
Because while I was editing, finishing up last week's episode, the interview with Tom and Katie, Tom mentioned that he had been on True Blood, and he was like, no, but I think they cut it out. I was like, just a hunch, just a spark within me. I was like, I'm going to check. So I found his IMDb. I found the episode that he was credited for, and I watched the fairy scene, because he mentioned he was a fairy with curly hair like 5 times, and found the 2 shots where you can barely make him out in the background.
It's amazing.
And I tweeted at him and he responded. He was like, yeah, that's me.
He did? I didn't see you responded.
Oh my God, Grace, pull it up. Pull it up.
He said, hang on.
Did you screen grab the...
Yeah, I screenshot the moments.
Oh my God, how did I miss this, Grace? I was sick this week. I blame my illness.
He said, crying eyes emoji, a true detective, your diligence is impressive.
Oh my God. Basically, he wants to fuck you.
Oh no, don't say that.
I would never do that to Katie, but also like...
Yes. What day was this? Please. What day was this?
It was Thursday morning.
Oh my God, there he is. Oh my God. I remember this scene. Be impressive.
Oh, he's so cute.
Oh, he's so cute. Oh my God.
Your circling is so funny.
Even in these like blurry shots, he does look younger. Like he looks like a little baby.
He does look like a little babe. Oh, you'll love this. Okay, I just saw this. Julia Carcamo said, "You had my heart with Bravo Daily Dish, but after the Guys and Dolls reference, you have my soul."
You're welcome.
At our stage show at Feinstein's. It'll be just
we'll definitely be singing Adelaide's Lament.
So usually, like, I come up with these titles at
3 in the morning.
3 in the morning when I'm publishing the episode. But our fans have been tweeting so much with their suggestions. Yeah. So I want to open it up.
Yeah. Continue tweeting us your titles.
I really feel like Hobath is a winner.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
And I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss